Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
Praise the Lord. You know, I can't help but get excited about what's been going on today because, man, my heart is full of praise this morning. Amen. My heart is so full of praise because I know what God is able to do and what He has already done. You know, I woke up this morning expecting something. I woke up knowing that when I came to church today, that Darren was going to teach an awesome Sunday school lesson, and that when we got church started, that the praise team was going to bring awesome praise. And that God had laid a word on my heart that I was going to preach His word, and it's an honor to preach His word. But there's something else that I come here expecting. I come here expecting to see people's lives to be changed. There's something else that I come here expecting. I come here expecting to see people's chains come off of their life of bondage. I come here expecting, knowing that God's word, when it's spoken, that it's got to be done. Amen. I know that whenever we speak the name of Jesus, that mountains have got to be moved, because that's what His word says. And I've tested it time and time again. And if you don't know, if you don't already come hold on already, my sermon today is about praise, because we only have one who is worthy of our praise, and His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go ahead and read scripture so you guys can take a break and rest your knees. Isaiah chapter 61, starting with verse number 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to them that are bound. Let me repeat that, an opening prisons to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the day of the Lord, vengeance of our God, to comfort all them that mourn. Amen. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Amen. The oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. In the name of Jesus, Lord. God, I'm asking You to anoint this place today, God. Lord, anoint each and every ear today, Lord, that is in this place, God. Lord, I'm asking You, Father, to anoint me today, Lord, to let me be Your speaker today, God. Lord, just move me out of Your way, God, and You take over the remainder of this service, Lord, because it's all about You, Jesus. It's all about You, Lord, and I just want to praise You for Your glory and Your name's sake. And all the people said, amen, hallelujah, thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. You know, we just sang an awesome song about calling upon the name of Jesus. And I recanted in my mind and just went back and thought about the many times, and even preparing for this sermon, the many times that I have been in a valley, and being in a place where I felt like I was so alone, and being in a place where I was alienated from all of my friends and my family, feeling like I was on a deserted island. Yeah. And then you just speak the name of Jesus, and things just change. Your whole atmosphere just changes, and I can't help it but get excited. And I don't care if it gets somebody else uncomfortable. When I've got a praise on my heart, I'm going to let it out. Amen. I'm not ashamed of God. I'm not ashamed of what He done for me. I will proclaim His name. Amen. You know, when the pastor said when he was up here just a second ago, it was years ago when I was a heathen. I went to a ball game. It was the opening day of Mountaineer Field. Man, it was just humming. The place was just hopping. It was just like, man, this place is about to explode. And I know you people have been there before. You've seen that kind of atmosphere. And we're standing there, man, we're screaming and just hooping and hollering. And this guy taps me on my shoulder and said, man, can you sit down? And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will not sit down. I'm too excited for this day. So I'm here to tell you something. That when I'm in this place right here, don't you dare try to tell me to sit down. Don't you dare try to tell me, because I'm here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is way bigger than any ball game that's ever been played. This is the one that we're giving adoration and worship to, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because He and He alone carried your burden to Calvary. He and He alone washed you with His blood and you came out white as snow. Amen. Only that's the one that we're here to give praise to. So I think I'm thinking about this scripture, you know, and since the last time that I got to preach here, I was ordained and I was able to perform two wedding ceremonies, and it was awesome. It was a really good time, and I really enjoyed doing it, because as the pastor has taught us, you know, marriage is something that the Lord has ordained. So it's a pleasure, it's an honor to actually get to be the minister of a wedding. And when I was reading this scripture, you know, I'm going to skip all the other things, and I just want to go straight to the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, whenever you go to a wedding, there is zero doubt who the bride is. Everybody that is there at that wedding ceremony, they know who the bride is. There is zero doubt because of how she is dressed. There is no question in my mind. Even knowing the brides of those that I was marrying, even knowing them, personally knowing them, there was zero question. If I had not known them at all, I knew who the bride was just because of the way she was dressed. And the position of the groom, I knew who the groom was from where he was actually standing, where he was in the front. He was there prepared to receive his bride. And this bride, I know that the preparation that went into this wedding ceremony, I know the things that happened in this, and I know I did not experience this, so don't think that if they ever hear this sermon, because neither one of them are here, they was not bridezillas, but I've heard of them. I have heard of them. I've heard of them just like things just can't go right. It don't matter what it is, it's going to be wrong, but it wasn't the case in the weddings that I've done. It was awesome. But the preparation that went with this, it started, and I asked Allie just out of the blue, just asked her yesterday, say, listen, if we're going to talk about a wedding, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? She said, where's it at? So there's preparation. There's a plan that has to be in place when you start a wedding ceremony. There has to be something to take place. All kinds of things have to go in order, like this and this and this and this and this for the day of the wedding, right? So whenever the place is planned and the people are planned and you have everything in place and all is said and done and everything, now comes the wedding day, and the bride has to adorn herself in the bride dress. She has to adorn herself and be ready to be received of her groom right here, because this is the moment that they've all prepared for. So as the Bible teaches us that we are preparing ourselves for a wedding, we are preparing ourselves to meet the groom one day. We have got to get all the preparations in place. But the best thing about this was I didn't have to plan none of it. I did not have to do any of this. I did not even have to purchase the wedding garment that I'm going to wear to the wedding. I did not have to prepare any of the food. I did not have to prepare who was going to be at the ceremony. All I had to do was follow after Him. He asked me to be His bride, and I'm going to be His bride, because He's already paid for it all. Amen. Every step of the way, He's prepared the whole thing. So when we go to the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been under the spirit of heaviness? Every single one of us at one time in our life have. We've all been there. And I like it, looking at this scripture right here, Psalms 61 and 2. David said it like this: from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. For when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. We've got a place that we can go for refuge. We got a place that we can go whenever we're in the biggest pits of despair. We've got a refuge in Jesus. Amen. We can call upon His name at any time, at any place. His ear is not slack. He will not hear you. Amen. He will hear everything that we cry out to Him. You know, and I have lied to myself. I have lied to myself many times, and I thought, oh man, I'm so alone. That is a lie from the pits of hell. You are never, ever, ever alone. You might feel like you're alienated from your family, from your friends, from your job, from your church, from the ones that are closest to you, but you will never, ever be alone from your God. And he said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end. And he will stick closer to you than a brother. Amen. You know, I want to compare this story. Acts 16:22 says it like this. In the let me give you a backstory first. Paul and Silas, they went into this town and they was wreaking havoc for paraphrasing purposes. They was wreaking havoc. There was this lady of what was she? She had a spirit of divination. Thank you. She had a spirit of divination, and Paul turned around and said, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to be quiet. Hush. Psh, get leave me alone." And it cost the people some money. So now the multitude is mad at them because it cost them some money, and this is where we are. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Think about this. Now, for the gospel's sake, we're preaching the name of Jesus. This is after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is after the road to Damascus experience that Paul went through. We're preaching the name of Jesus to a multitude of people, and they do not like it. So they're going to put these men in jail. They're going to put them in prison. Not only are they going to do that, they're going to beat them. Now, I've never been beat for the gospel's sake, but I have often found myself in a prison. And I'm not talking about a physical prison, but I have been in a mental prison many times. There was one time in my life, and Brother Sam and Brittany and Dave and many others was right there beside of me. I just clammed up. I just went through this awful experience, and I don't even know really the whole root of it. But I do know one thing, that it didn't matter when I went to church. It didn't matter when I spoke to my friends. I didn't go to work and talk to many people. I was trapped in my own mind. I was in this place of just riddled with so much anxiety and so much depression that I did not want to do anything. I felt that the calling on my life was null and void. It was no good. I felt like I did not deserve to be up here. I just didn't belong here. And there was one night, and I will never forget this night for the rest of my life. It was a Saturday night. It was early Sunday morning. I want to say around 3 a.m. I woke up and I had this burning in my heart. And the pastor called it holy heartburn. It's exactly what it was. And I came to this church in the middle of the night. And I got on my knees and I started crying out to the only one who was able to pull me out. The only one who was able to set me free from that. And God changed my life from then. From that point on, I understand that praise is a weapon that I can use. Amen. Whenever I'm at my lowest points, my deepest, darkest moments of my life, I know that when I call upon the name of Jesus and cry out His name in despair, that He's going to meet me because He's faithful. He's way more faithful than we ever are. So I think about Paul and Silas right here. They're beat. They're cast down. They're put in prison. They're hurting. There's no doubt they felt like they was alienated. They felt like they was probably had their back turned up on. Like they just felt, I'm sure this was awful. I've never been in jail, but I could imagine what it felt like. I can imagine the grief that they was feeling on this. Being away, I mean, doing the thing that they knew was right. Doing what they knew was right and was punished for it. And they was thrown into a prison. And whenever they charged the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. And made their feet fast in stocks. And if you look up what an inner prison is, I've worked in the coal mines for almost 24 years now. And I'm telling you, there's a dark in the coal mines that just don't seem right. It's so dark. It's crazy how dark it really is. But supposedly these prisons was the same way. They're super dark. There's no windows. There's no access to any kind of natural light whatsoever. So they're sitting in the dark. In the middle, and they're sitting there in the middle of this fastened with their feet in stocks. They can't do nothing. But man, something starts happening. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. And they sang praises to God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. So not only did it release them, it released the ones that was around them. So I'm here to tell you something. When you open your mouth with praise, when you start giving the greatest ovation to the only one who's worthy to be praised, the people around you start feeling it. The people that you are walking beside of, they start feeling it. They start seeing it. The people at your job, they start noticing that there's something different about us. When we start giving the only one who's worthy of all the praise that he deserves, we can never give him all the praise that he deserves. We'll never reach that level. So I'm here to tell you this too, just like the pastor has at the very beginning of service, you give this disclaimer. Good grief, man. I'm getting tongue tied. I got a disclaimer too. I get excited and my tongue gets tied because I want to tell you what God's done for me, okay? And sometimes I get so excited that it just all just runs together and I just open my mouth and just little comes out, okay? But the pastor gives this disclaimer that you're looking for a quiet church, this ain't it. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're going where I'm going, it's not quiet there either. Because they sit around the throne day and night crying, holy, holy, holy to the one who is and is to come, amen. We're going to lift him up forever because he alone is worthy, amen. Hallelujah. So I think about the people that are around us in the very atmosphere that I sit in daily. Those people that are bound in chains, and I'm standing here free and free indeed. I'm standing here with the praise on my heart, and they're sitting there bound, and they have to wonder. They have to wonder, why are they so happy all the time? Why do they feel like it seem like they got it all together? It's because sometimes I don't have it all together. It's because I know who has it all together, and my hand is in his hand, amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. So Paul and Silas, in the middle of all this, the jailer was even saved. His family was saved. There was things that happened because of their praise. So I'm telling you, whenever the devil puts you in that prison, you just start crying out the name. You just start crying out, just like the song had said, in the midnight hour when I had nothing else to call upon, I called upon Jesus and he met me. Amen. He met me. He never has failed me. He has never forsaken me. And the times when I felt like I was alone, it's a lie because I'm never, ever alone. Hallelujah. Psalms 34:3 says it like this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together." How do you magnify something? How do you bring it together and magnify him? Let me tell you how. We're just going to give him all the admiration that he needs. We're going to give him the many ovations that he deserves. Because he is great and greatly to be praised. You know, when you're heavy, the spirit of heaviness, man, and it's sad. It's sad sometimes of the heaviness that I see on people. The heaviness that I even see on brothers and sisters in the church, not just the people of the world. We've all been trapped in this little bubble before. And there was one other time in particular, you know, I kind of got mixed up and I thought the first time was a fluke maybe. I don't know. But I started going through this same anxiety, depression, clamming up, all this again. And I was sitting at work and I was texting the pastor and I don't know. Maybe God really didn't call me. I don't know. Maybe I'm really not supposed to do this. And he said, man, have you just started praising him? Just start praising him for what he's done. Think about your family. Think about your job. Think about the life that you live. And then I sat back and I started looking at my life and I said, God, I thank you, Lord, for where you brought me from. God, I thank you for the family that you have given me. God, I thank you for the church family that you've given me. God, I thank you for the job that you've given me, Lord. God, I thank you for the church that you've let me go to where I can worship you freely in truth. And things started changing. My atmosphere started changing completely. There's something about whenever you start magnifying the name of Jesus, your problems seem so small and he gets so big. And that is why what he meaning by this, when you magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. Blow him up because he's big as you want him to be.
we got these problems and they seem so insurmountable. We look like we can't go over the mountain. We can't make it. You're right, you cannot make it. But I've got somebody that's going to carry me every step of the way. He's going to walk with me every step of the way. I don't have to go through this alone. So when I look at my problems and I think about how big that they really are, and I really start, and it causes me to clam up. That's what happens to me. I don't know about you, but I start clamming up inside. And I start putting my harp on a willow tree. And I start backing up. And I'm like, man, I'm not worthy to do this. I'm not worthy to sit in this place. I'm not able to do this. But then whenever I start exalting Him and I start magnifying Him and I start seeing how big that He really is, I see how small that my problem really is, because when it's all said and done, I'm going home with Him anyway. I'm going to be with Him. So this is only momentary. So whatever you're going through, whatever the trial, whatever the struggle, the temptation, the mountain that you're facing, it's only momentary. It's only for a temporary time. You're not going through it alone. So crush that lie of the enemy. You're not going through this alone. Psalm 69 and 30 says like this: I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. You know, I can't sing a lick, but man, I sing. Man, I wear it out. I do. I do. When I'm by myself sometimes, man, and a song gets on my heart, I just start wailing. I don't care if I sound like a mashed cat. I ain't singing for you. I ain't singing for nobody else. I'm singing for Him. I want to sing for Him because He's worthy to be sing. He's worthy for me to sing to. It might not be beautiful to you, but it's beautiful to Him. He loves to hear me sing to Him. You know, you can't help it, but you look at your children and stuff. They might draw something on a page and it looked just terrible. It looked like green spaghetti or something. But they're so proud of it. And they're like, here, Dad, check this out. And you're like, man, that's all right. They did that out of their own heart and they're proud of it. It's the same way with God to us. What we do is a mess, but yet we give it to Him and He's like, hey, that's beautiful. You are my child. You are mine. And I do accept that. Amen. So we could sing with a song and magnify Him with thanksgiving. You know, we just went through Thanksgiving, and we all, everyone that is in this room breathing with your lungs, you have got something to be thankful for. We all live in America, which is it's something to be thankful for. We're not living where they dictate where you can go to church and where you can and you can worship and you can't. We're free here. We're able to worship Him freely, and we don't have to worry about hiding in a basement somewhere. We can do it right here in the middle of Crab Orchard. We can lift up and magnify the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, because He's worthy. He's so worthy. Psalms 145 and 3 says it like this: great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Think about this right here: and His greatness is unsearchable. You can Google all kinds of stuff. You can look for, I mean, you can dig as far as you want to dig. You can get in this word and dig as far as you want to dig. You can look at scholars, what they found and done this and done this. Nobody has all the answers. There is no bottom with Him. There is no height with Him. That He is so big that we will never reach all of it. We will never understand the fullness of His glory. We'll never see all of His righteousness. He is so unsearchable. He is amazing at everything that He does. You know, and it's easy for us to go off of what we've done. We always dictate ourselves off of our own feelings. I'm here to tell you something. Praise ain't about a feeling. It's not about a feeling at all. It's about what He did. It's about what He really did. And if you understand, you know, and Doug texted me and the pastor the other day about this, and the pastor mentioned it Wednesday, that God that gave up His throne and glory and let the very thing that created that He created nail Him to a cross. Nail Him to a cross and hold Him up to die for your sins. The very thing that He created, He let that happen. What kind of love is that? What kind of love is that? It's unsearchable. Man, you cannot get all of the love of God, but I want to get as much of it as I can. I want to dig as far as I can. I want to get in as far as I can. Psalms 47 and 1 says this: oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. How can you be triumphant? How can you shout with triumph under your lips right now? Is there something that you've done that you're triumphant about? Not me. I couldn't do nothing, none of this that I've ever, anything in my Christian walk has ever been done. It's only been done by the grace of God. And it's only been done by the strength that He gives me. It's not nothing of my own. It's nothing that I've done, but it's what He's done through me. Amen. So now I can shout with the voice of triumph because victory is His. I only have victory by the grace of God. I only have victory through the grace of God. You know, I've been an electrician for a long time. And there's a lot of problems that you have. There's a ton of them. It's electricity. It's so fickle. But yet, whenever you go and troubleshoot something, you go by prints and you go by experience and you go by questions. You ask this person, you ask that person. You go by a pretty much a set order. But you know, in all of the problems, in all of the things that goes on in my life, it only leads back to one solid answer. There's only one solid answer that I can give you. When you're going through anything, you got to praise. You've got to praise the one who's worthy. Because once you magnify Him, your problem will get smaller. I promise, when you start giving it all to Him, your problem will shrink because you're just in awe of the magnificent God that is all around you. You're not no longer bound by this big problem that you're looking at. You're looking at how big and awesome that your God really is. When you start giving Him praise, when you start seeking the face of God, things around you just start to change because that's just Him. That's just who He is. That's just what He wants. And when you start giving it all to Him, He will take every bit of it and He will make something awesome out of it. You know, the scripture also told us that He'd give you beauty for ashes. You know, when you're going through something and it's just all destruction, that's all you see, God will give you beauty for that. God will show you something that's just absolutely amazing. And the whole time it's been right there. The whole time you went through it, it's been right there. The whole time He's been right there. Think about that. Think about any place that you've ever been in your Christian walk, you've never walked it alone. You've never, ever been alone. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." Thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. We only triumph through and by Jesus Christ. That's where our victory is at. That's where our hope is at. That's where our whole being is in Him. We've got to get like, you know, you can look at many things going on in life and you can get so distracted that you just don't, like you kind of get numb per se. You kind of get numb to the whole thing. Yeah, I'm going to go to church today and I'm going to do this. And then when I get home, I'm going to eat. And then when I get home, I'm going to eat. Then I'm going to get it all together. And then tomorrow I'm going to get myself ready and I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to go to work the next day. And then I'm going to come back to church on Wednesday night. And it's just a repetitive thing. You kind of can get numb. But when you take a moment and you sit back and you just breathe in Him. And you just sit back and just thank God, where would I be without You? Where would I be without the hand that pulled me out? Many, many, many times that I have failed Him, He still pulls me out. He still looks at me and says, "You are still my child. I don't want to. I'm not putting you up for adoption because you done something, you big knucklehead. I want to teach you something. I'm gonna pull you back in and show you where your error of your ways and teach you that you really are a child of mine and that I do love you with an unfailing love." You know, when you talk about adoption, we're all adopted into Him. He chose each and every one of us. And you know, and when my children was born, it's a gift of God. That's just how it happened. But if I chose to get another child, we can't do it now. So I would have to adopt. And when I go to adopt, I'm sure that I'm going to give it every single kind of detail that I can find. I'm going to find the perfect child per se. That's not what He done with us. Because when He adopted me, I was at my lowest. When He adopted me, I was the one that everyone else had given up on. When He adopted me, He picked me up out of a dirty, miry clay pit. And He said, "You are going to be my child, and I'm going to clean you off, and I'm going to wrap you in my righteousness, and I'm going to call you a son of God." Think about that for a moment. He did not turn me away like the world wants to turn us away. He did not give you up. He did just say, "No, you're not savable." No, He said, "You are mine, and you're going to walk with me." Last scripture that I got, musicians, you can get ready to come. Psalms 22:3. but thou art holy. O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Think about where you live. Think about where we live. Think about the place that we go and we call home. The place that he calls home is in the praises of us. He loves to hear his children calling upon his name. You know, when we're standing here and we're all the worship team's up here and they're just giving it all. And we're up here holding our hands up and we're clapping and we're yelling and we're giving it all. That's where God is. So I'm here to tell you something. When I said this at the very beginning, that I came here expecting to see lives to be changed. I've seen lives to be changed. I've heard of lives being changed, and I've experienced lives being changed when the Word of God comes forth. But I have heard it more. I have heard it more whenever you are in praise and you are in worship. I have seen the goodness of God fall upon people and their life can be completely changed. I've watched people's actual countenance change in praise and worship. You know, it's all right to be crazy, because I'm telling you, I'm a crazy person. If I went to a ball game before, you couldn't slow me down. Why would I slow down in here? Why would the team is going to, they're terrible. The next year, that's only going to be a distant memory. And 10 years from now, you're not even going to remember who won. But I want to tell you something, that a long time ago, 2,000 some years ago, there was a king that was crucified on a cross for you. He was buried for you, but he rose again for you to have freedom. So why wouldn't I get up and give him the most praise? Because he is worthy. And I will never forget what he's done for me. I will never forget where he brought me from. I will never forget that. God is present and in control at all times. Think about that. God is in control and present at all times. He's never left me. God's presence can be felt in even the darkest moments. In the darkest place that you've ever been, God can still be right there. Don't say could. God is still right there. In the darkest place that you've ever been, in any position that you've ever been, God has been right there. God is love and he is peace. You don't have love, you don't have the right kind of love until you've experienced God's love. God's love will change how you love everything else. So when I do tell somebody and I look at them face to face and tell them that I do love them, it's because God loves me and I know what love is. And I have a peace that passes all understanding. You know, when you lay down at nighttime and you lay your head on a pillow and you don't have to worry and you don't have no kind of schedule that you're panicked about and you don't have to worry about all this, it's easy to go to sleep. But when you're overwhelmed with life and you go to bed and you've got something that's going on inside your family and you're laying there and you're thinking about it, and you got something that's going on at work and you're just laying there and it's kind of just like galling your soul and you're just trying your best to go to sleep, there's no peace in that. There's no peace in that. But only true peace comes from Jesus Christ. So when you actually lay down and you think about the goodness of God, I can go to sleep like a baby. I can lay down. It don't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter what's going on inside of my family, going on inside of my job. I know that once I am in him and the peace of God that passes all understanding just wraps up in me, I can lay down at night with my head just like a baby and sleep. And it's so awesome. If you don't know that, just to get a good night's sleep, he's worthy. He's worthy, because sometimes that's hard to come by. I know months at a time I've went and had a hard time getting a good night's sleep until I got out of my knucklehead ways and started thinking about him and thinking, hey, I don't have to go to bed like this. I don't have to go to bed riddled with anxiety. I don't have to go to bed riddled with my problems. I could go to bed with him knowing that when I wake up tomorrow in this present life, I'm going to have joy. I'm going to have joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. But if I don't wake up, I'm going to be with him in eternal glory. Amen. God is close and accessible. Think about that too. He's accessible. He's not something that you got to dial up and make an appointment. You got to set yourself and make a request and be like, oh yeah, hopefully he gets to me. No, he's a very present help in a time of trouble. He's always there. He's always near. Worship is a way to experience God's presence. If you want to get in God's presence, get in His presence through worship. There's something about it when you raise your hands in worship. There's something about it. It's almost like you can feel the burden lifting up off you when you raise your hands in worship to Him. And this is my last point. Christians are never, ever, ever, ever alone. And God always responds to their praises. There's never been a time that I've called upon Him that He just left me on read. He's never left me on read at all. Not one time has He ever left me like that. Sometimes He's tested my faith. Now, that's a whole other story. But there's times whenever I know when I'm desperate. I know where I can go. You know, you could sit back and think about every friend that you've got in this life right now, that somebody in the middle of the night, I got to call somebody. You got somebody that you know you can call. And they're going to answer. Somebody's got that. Sometimes I question my friends. I do. Because I've called them before and they've not answered. So I've got a little bit of a reserve about it. I don't know if this one would or wouldn't. Some of my friends put them on Do Not Disturb. But I know that in the middle of the night that I could call on one friend that will never, ever, ever leave me red. He will never let the phone just ring through. He will always pick up the phone, and His name is Jesus. So as they get ready to sing this song, we're going to sing a song about worship, and we're going to sing a song about praise. I want you to stand on your feet, and I want you to think about where God has brought you from and all the things that God has put you through or been right beside you of every situation you've ever been through. And if you're carrying around the spirit of heaviness, this is where you can get rid of it. This is how you can get rid of that spirit of heaviness. And you can go out of here free and free indeed. You can give Him all the glory and all the praise because He's the only one that is worthy of praise. He's the only one that is worthy of it all. And this song that they're going to sing, are y'all singing praise? I want y'all to pay attention to the words. Pay attention to the words, that our praise is a weapon. And it is much more than just a sound. Whenever I scream to the top of my lungs, when I scream out just out of triumph because I know what He's done for me. When I give Him that, man, atmosphere changes. My atmosphere changes. I'm no longer heavy. I am free and free in Him, amen. So as they sing His song, if you are dealing with the spirit of heaviness, if you're dealing with the spirit of anxiety, if you're dealing with depression, if you're dealing with any kind of illness at all that you need God to take from you, just give it to Him in praise. Just open up your mouth and say, God, You're worthy. Even if He don't heal me, He's worthy. You know, I say this often. I say this, if God doesn't do another thing for me, what He's already done is enough. What He's already done for me, because man, I will go ahead and tell you, I've got a testimony. You've got a testimony. You know where you once was, and you know what God brought you through. You know where God has brought you, and He placed my foot on a solid rock. I'm not in quicksand. I'm not standing in the sand somewhere. I'm standing once I'm founded. I'm founded in the name of Jesus. So I have got victory in Him, amen. So when I tell you my testimony, it's because I know what God has done for me. So go back and think of the testimony that God gave you, and just give Him the ultimate praise because He's the only one worthy, amen.